Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're with us tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, pastor teacher of Shalom Shalom Congregation and director of Berit Chadashah Ministries here in Dallas, Texas. As I've said before, our ministry is devoted to two main objectives. Number one, to preach the Word of God and do so in a sound fashion to edify, enlighten, and equip the body of Messiah Jesus, and to, at the same time, underscore the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. Christianity is Jewish. Remember that book Edith Schaefer wrote by that title? It's a very good book. I would recommend it. It's called Christianity is Jewish, and she's right. Christianity is the fulfillment Old Testament Judaism, biblical Judaism, and that is the main theme of the book of Hebrews, by the way, that the new covenant is a fulfillment of the old covenant. And we also, secondly, our second objective in this ministry is to take the gospel back to the Jewish people, particularly to the Jewish state of Israel. And we've been doing that now for 24 years. By the way, we're coming up in 3 weeks on this ministry's first anniversary of going full-time by faith. If you remember, last May I had to jettison from my part-time job. I won't go into why, but I had to do it. Bad things were going on there, and me and several of the management got out of there. And it was at that point that I felt like, you know, I need to go back and do this full-time, because really, this ministry merits full-time attention. We not only take the gospel to the Jewish people, and have been doing that by the grace of God for 24 years now. We've also taught the Word of God here at Shalom Shalom since September of 1999. This congregation was founded by myself and Zola Levitt, and we've been meeting together every Shabbat now for, going on 25 years, 26 years. So we're glad that we can continue to bring you our services, and hopefully with that good, sound, biblical teaching and preaching. If you want to know more about what we do in Israel, I've written two books covering the first 11 years of these gospel outreaches. They are called Messengers of Messiah, Witnessing Encounters with the Chosen People. And the second book, Reaching the Jews for Jesus. Or if you want to get an up-to-date account of our most recent outreaches to Israel, may I suggest you get our monthly newsletter, Berit Chadashah Ministries, called Search the Scriptures. This is our quarterly newsletter I'm holding in my hand, the Winter Spring 2025 issue. You can go to our website at toddbaker.org and click on the newsletter link. We have all of our newsletters archived going back to 2001. This is our current edition. And if you're interested in subscribing to our free ministry newsletter, then you can email us at toddbus@yahoo.com. Give us your full name and your mailing address. If you want the email version of our newsletter, you'll get the color version. You can then send us you can send us our full name and email address, and we'll make sure that you get that. So we thank you for supporting this ministry and praying for us. Now, in September, we plan on going to Israel, probably in the middle of September, for this ministry's 58th gospel outreach. So we need your prayers for that. And also, we covet your support. Not many ministries or churches are going to Israel and taking Romans 1:16 seriously, which states the gospel is to go to the Jew first and also the Gentile. Why do the Jew first? Not because they're inherently superior, but because it was to them first that God revealed himself to the world on a national level. And it was through them that we have the Messiah. Jesus is Jewish. The Bible is Jewish, and so it was to them first that God sent the Messiah. And it is to them first, then also that the gospel is to go to them. And we've been doing that. And we not only witness to the Jewish people in Israel, we witness to non-Jews. There are Arabs who are technically Semitic as well. If you want to be, accurate about it. But certainly feel like the church has dropped the ball when it comes to going to Israel under the command of the Great Commission. And it has become now, Israel has become now the great omission of the Great Commission, not with this ministry. So if you would consider supporting us, that would be highly, highly appreciative. We need to go to Israel more. We're not going enough. We're only going twice a year. And in 24 years, we barely scratched the surface with the gospel. Today, we have passed out 2,003 complete Hebrew Bibles to the Jewish people and the Arab people in Israel, and we need to do more. We really need to do more. If I had my druthers, we would go over there at least for a month at a time, and at least three times a year. We were going three times a year. Now it's two times a year. If you would like to help us continue to do this end-time ministry to Israel, and also ministering the Word of God to believers as well, you can click on that donate link that's provided for you there under the title of tonight's message. It'll take you to our secure, encrypted donate page where you can make a tax-deductible donation. And don't forget, for those of you who are here in this congregation, we need your support. Because as Paul says, they that preach the gospel should be supported by the gospel. Wherever you meet, wherever you have a local assembly, biblically, you should support that assembly with whatever financial support you want to give, according to 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. So thank you for considering support this ministry. So tonight, without further ado, we are back in our gospel presentation, our 57th gospel outreach to Israel presentation. We left off right as we got to Jerusalem. So let's go there. We got a lot of ground to cover. And let me see if I can push the right button here. Yep. So arriving at our hotel in Jerusalem, and of course, accompanying me on this gospel outreach, this is Dr. August Rosato of Today in Bible Prophecy. Lord willing, he will be accompanying me again for our two-man team to Israel. We turned on the TV screen at the Dan Jerusalem Hotel, and of course, this greeted us. They gave me a personal welcome. I am a member of the Dan Hotel because I've stayed there so many times. They give you some a discount and some fringe benefits. So that's what we were greeted with when we got to Jerusalem. And so our gospel witness for Yeshua the Messiah took us on our first full day to Jerusalem, to the Mamilla Mall, an outdoor mall in Jerusalem, adjacent to the Jaffa Gate. The Lord had us enter a shop where we visited before on a previous outreach. We met a lady there, Ephrat. She remembered us from the last time we were in Jerusalem. She fondly recalled the ministry August Rosato and I had with her about 2 years ago. Ephrat also reminded us that we gave her the complete Jewish Bible. Now, what do I mean by complete Jewish Bible? I mean, a complete Jewish Bible has, as you see here, these are the type of Bibles we gave out this time. A complete Hebrew Bible or Jewish Bible has the Torah. That would be the Pentateuch, the first five books of Moses. It then has the Ketuvim. That is called the writings. That would include such books as Joshua, Judges, etc., etc. Then we have the Hanavi'im, the prophets. And then last but not least, the Berit Chadashah, the Hebrew canon, only has the first three designations. The Christian Bible has the Tanakh as well as the Berit Hadashah. So, but it's all Jewish, and it's for, first, the Jewish people, including the Berit Hadashah. So when I say complete Hebrew or Jewish Bible, I mean the Bible with both Testaments in it, the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we were in this shop where we had seen Ephrat minister to her before, but her co-worker, Shira, was listening in to our conversation. We were able to extend our gospel witness to her as well. Shira was interested by our telling her that God's plan for Israel, encompassing past, present, and future, centrally involves the coming and return of the Messiah, whom Messianic prophecy identifies to be none other than Yeshua of Nazareth. He came in fulfillment of the scriptures to die as the Kippurah, or the atonement for our sins. We're reminded of that today on Good Friday. By the way, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Actually, the events, we should have celebrated the events of the sufferings, trials, and death of Jesus Christ last week, according to the Jewish calendar. That's more accurate. Not this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Last week, Pesach was celebrated, I believe, on Saturday at the full moon. Unfortunately, the Council of Nicaea, a decent council, they affirmed Orthodox Christology, but they were wrong when they divorced Christianity from its biblical Jewish roots. Even in that council, they prohibited Christians from celebrating Passover. And I saw this idiotic, it's a good website for the most part, discernment website, an article on there, why Christians shouldn't celebrate Passover. I'm like, are you kidding me? So you're better than Jesus the Messiah who did celebrate Passover? As believers, we celebrate Passover, out of which the Lord's Supper comes from, to show how Yeshua is the fulfillment of Passover. Paul himself said, Messiah, our Passover sacrifice for us. We told Shira here, as you see, pictured here with August, that Yeshua came in fulfillment of the scriptures to die as the atonement for our sins, rose from the dead to give eternal life to those who believe in him. Hebrews 10, 12 through 18. Shira was more than willing to accept the scriptures with joy and excitement, and desiring to learn more of the good news of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Next, we met and the receptive Avital, pictured here with me, going over some of those messianic prophecies in the Bible. She worked at a skin product store. August and I encouraged her that there were many Bible believers who stand and pray for Israel and the Jewish people during this time of great conflict. We directed her to the promises of God, the promises of God's word, wherein he has promised to defend, protect, and perpetuate the nation of Israel. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 37. We then directed her to promises, the promises of the scriptures concerning a coming Messiah via messianic prophecy of the Tanakh and their corresponding fulfillment in Yeshua in the Berit Chadashah. Avital saw this for herself as I showed her. She saw this in the Hebrew Bible and messianic prophecy pamphlet we gave to her. She was enthralled to learn that and told us that she would read and study the scriptures and messianic gospel literature that we gave her. She thanked us for coming to give her the good news from the Jewish scriptures concerning God's plan for Israel in Messiah Jesus. Amen. So then we went to the Western Wall, the Kotel. This is the retaining wall that once stood around the second temple, the Bet Hamikdash, that Herod built. It is not part of the temple proper. So when uninformed people say, well, Jesus' prophecy about the temple being destroyed, not leaving one stone upon another, was it completely fulfilled because you've got the Kotel here? Is not true, because this was not part of the temple proper. It is the retaining wall built around the Temple Mount. So as you know, Jews regularly visit the Western Wall, and Christians, and they write their prayers down and put them in the crevices of these huge Herodian stones. Zola Levitt likened it to God's mailbox. When you put a letter in the mailbox, you send it to the one who will receive it. And In like manner, this is kind of God's mailbox. We put our prayers, requests in the wall, and he answers them. He receives them. Amen. And the two temples that stood during the time of Solomon and Jesus, really, it was the apartment of God on earth, his earthly dwelling place. Now, under the Brit Hadashah, of course, the temple of God is us, corporately and individually. We are the temple of the living God. But nonetheless, we went there and we prayed for our friends and family and ministries, and each one of you were put on the prayer list and prayed for there. I did a brief 7-minute teaching that I posted on my Facebook pages. And after we returned from the Western Wall in Jerusalem, the Spirit of God led us to share the same hope for Israel as we shared with other Israelis, the same hope for Israel in Yeshua from the Hebrew Bible, with the welcoming and open heart of Amari Golani. You see him right here with August. He is he owns a Jewish gift shop in the hotel we were staying at. He too accepted and received the word of salvation offered from the living word of Jesus the Messiah, revealed through the written word of both testaments of Scripture, John 1:1-14. So this is Amari Golani. And so our gospel ministry to Israel once again took us to another mall that I'm sure you've heard about, the Malcha Mall, a big indoor mall in Jerusalem. This ministry has had good success in the past. Initially, though, on this trip, we met with what seemed to be a wall of resistance. Having enough of this frustration, August and I went to a private area in the mall and prayed for God to cause this wall to come tumbling down. And sure enough, after we finished praying, minutes later, people at the mall opened up to hear the gospel and receive the word of God. Stepping into a Laleen skincare shop, we met and ministered to an Arab young lady by the name of Ofa. You see pictured here with August. We boldly affirmed to her that Adon Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, sent us from a distant country to make sure she could know of the great love of God in sending his son to die for the salvation of the sinner and rising again from the dead to give eternal life to those who believe in him, John 3:16 and 1 John 5:11. Ofa listened with interest and with open heart and hands, received the scriptures and an Arabic gospel tract from us. Well, then another shop near the one we met Ofra in, we were able to once again, we praise God that this woman, Dania, was also open and quite interested in hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was an Arab Muslim. When August and I suggested she too take a Hebrew Bible and Arabic gospel tract from us, Dania surprisingly replied, quote, "Thank you, and I have always wanted to read the Bible and learn more about it," unquote. Elated over this openness, we knew the Holy Spirit was providentially opening the hearts of even Arab Muslims to the gospel of salvation. Lastly, there was Ben, a Jewish young man who owns a rebar yogurt kiosk, been like the fact that we regularly visit Israel come to the Jewish people to comfort them and reassure them of God's faithfulness to keep his eternal promises he made to them. And the promise, of course, including the new covenant of Yeshua HaMashiach, which is the capstone of all the covenants God has made with Israel. Ben listened and commented positively about the Hebrew Bible, including the New Testament, and was more than willing to accept this from us as the saving word of God, bound up and given through the Messiah of Israel, Yeshua mi Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth. Once he took a copy of the Bible from us, we rejoiced at another modern Israeli Jew being introduced to the greatest Jew of all. So then we left there and we had time to do a YouTube teaching on Bethel, a site where first mentioned in Bereshit, the book of Genesis, where Jacob, when he fled from his brother Esau, he stopped at Bethel for the night, made a pillow of stones and laid down. And there he had a vision of God and the ladder, literally in the Hebrew, a stairway going from heaven with the angels of God ascending and descending. If you remember the New Testament connection, it's in John 1 where Jesus tells Nathanael, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And then he told him, you shall see greater things than these. You shall see the Son of Man with angels, the angels of God ascending and descending from heaven, a connection to Genesis 28. So here we have, you read the biblical text up here in Genesis 28, 10 through 12. And he went to Beersheba, and he took stones from a place and used them as a pillow, and he laid asleep there as he dreamt, and he saw a ladder standing on the ground, reaching the heavens, angels of God ascending and descending. And then the sign says from Genesis 28, 13 through 14, behold, the Lord stood beside him and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon you lie to you, I will give it to you and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. So God is reaffirming the eternal covenant that he promised to Abraham, his grandfather, and his father Isaac. And he called the name of that place. But this has a lot of history in the Bible, as you're going to see, starting with the patriarch Jacob. And God said, Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make there an altar to God who appeared to you when you fled from Esau, your brother. And then we read, so Jacob came to Luz. Bethel was formerly called Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, the same as Bethel or Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God was revealed to him when he fled from his brother. And this is a stone in Hebrew telling us that it is Bethel. And there is a rock slab on there that I'll show you in a minute that was identified by Professor Ziev Vilnai as the actual rock where Jacob laid down and had his dream. And Professor Zia Vilnai is a topographist. And this is a wormwood oak that is approximately 1,000 years old, recent history in Israel, by the way. And also in this area, you're going to see pictures. There are ancient burial caves dating back to the first century during the Second Temple period. And then behind these trees, you can barely see it up here. This is an ancient tower and wall that was part of the defense alignment that protected King Jeroboam's temple from attacks. Jeroboam set up an altar here to the golden calf. He set one up in Dan and far north Israel, And he set one up in Bethel because, after all, it was inconvenient to go up to Jerusalem. So we'll just worship the golden calf here in Bethel and up in northern territory of Dan. So the golden calf worship that they thought they left when they came out of the wilderness into the land of Canaan under Joshua didn't completely leave some of the Israelites who engaged in this idolatry. This is the area where the golden calf was set up. It's a circular area. This dates to the 9th century, 900 BC. There's a flower there. One of the first century tombs. And this is the ruins of Jeroboam's temple, a large public building where he set up two golden calves and said to them, is it too much for you to go up to Jerusalem? And he put one in Bethel, or Bethel, and the one other he put in First Kings 12:28. And that is the actual location where King Jeroboam, Solomon's son, put the golden calf to be worshipped by the Israelites. I'm standing right there. There's another first century tomb. Further picture away of Jeroboam's altar. The golden calf is worshipped. And this slab right here is what Professor Vilnai believed was the bed that Jacob laid down upon. This rock slab here, you can see a better picture of it right in here. You can see how it makes kind of a natural type of place where to lay down. And I had August lay down there with two rocks as his pillow, like Jacob did. And there it is, right there. I believe that's the actual rock sediment that Jacob laid down on in Genesis 28. There it is. And there's the rock, or rocks as a pillow. And I took this picture. The picture does not do it justice, but this is the fecund soil of Israel. This, if you were actually there, it looked like dark chocolate. And this is rich in minerals. I've never seen soil this rich looking ever. And I've been in many places in the world, but nothing like the soil of the Holy Land. So we get back, and we had been talking with Mohammed, one of the employees at our hotel, and we had been witnessing to him for a couple days, and we promised him we would give him a metanah, that's Hebrew for give. And we did give him a Hebrew Bible with an Arabic gospel tract, so we had good ministry with him. Well, gospel ministry continued to go very well the following day in Jerusalem. August and I met Helena here, pictured with August, at a clothes store in the Hadar Mall. She was overjoyed to hear the great things Yeshua the Messiah did for her salvation. August and I graciously went over how the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua HaMashiach was foretold and fulfilled in the Hebrew Bible about the Messiah. Helena was visibly overjoyed as the Lord opened her heart to accept the gift of God's word to read and believe for herself. There she is with the scriptures we gave to her. And then moving on, August and I then met Aura, and she was riveted over what we told her about what the God of Israel has done and will do for Israel through Yeshua HaMashiach from the Jewish scriptures. We noted that each person who believes in him through the testimony of the Habesarah, the gospel, would indeed have eternal life and be adopted into God's forever family by acknowledging and repenting of sin. Aura was taken aback in a good way over what we shared with her. She was overwhelmed, deeply appreciative, and was visibly moved at are giving her a complete Hebrew Bible and also telling her that with the Passover fast approaching, the Yeshua is the final Passover lamb to to take away our sins and that of the whole world. John 1:29 and 36. And you see there, August is explaining to her the plan of salvation in the Jewish Bible through the Messiah, Yeshua. That is, you can't fake that positive emotional reaction that Orah had upon hearing the gospel for the first time, no doubt. And we visited Moore. She owns a jewelry kiosk, and this is our third time to visit her. We visited her about 2 years ago. Got into the importance of the Berit HaDashah, the New Covenant for Israel. She accepted the scriptures, and we have been ministering to her ever since. And we had a good discussion this time about the peril that Israel's constantly in, being surrounded by satanic enemies who want nothing less than their destruction. And we reassured her that God neither slumbers nor sleeps, who keeps ever watch over the nation of Israel. So pray for more. So from there, folks, we had enough time to do another teaching, a teaching that YouTube took off, that August Rosado and I did on his YouTube channel. We did a teaching a couple years ago at the tomb of Lazarus, and we taught on John 11, where Jesus performed one of his greatest miracle, well, the greatest miracle in his ministry outside of his own resurrection, and that was raising Lazarus from the dead after his friend had been dead for 4 days. So the city, as you know, or the village that happened in was Bethany. We drove to Bethany to do a video teaching from the tomb of Lazarus. Today, the city is called El Azariah, meaning it's an Arab word meaning the village of Lazarus, located in the so-called West Bank, about 2.5 miles south of Jerusalem on the back end of the Mount of Olives. In this location where Jesus performed the greatest miracle of his earthly ministry of raising Lazarus from the dead, we were also able to share the word of God with an Arab by the name of Michael. More on that in a minute. But here is the tomb of Lazarus. And there's information. This is one of the sites that they are very well certain was the actual location of Lazarus's tomb. Jerome and Eusebius of the early 4th century mentioned this place. It had a church there, the first church that was built there. Five have been built over the centuries. First church built there to commemorate the site was built in the 4th century. And in order to get in there, they had to call an Arab man. He came down and let us in. And this is going down into the tomb of Lazarus. This wasn't the original entry, by the way. Found out later that it was next to the wall, and if I would have known that, I would have taken a picture of the original entry. Yeah, the original entry was over here on this side. But the last time we were there, you had to go down and crawl underneath into the entrance. There was no lighting inside the tomb, so we did the teaching outside of the tomb. There it is. It says here, the glory of God, this is posted outside of the tomb of Lazarus, the glory of God shall be seen by those who put their faith in Jesus in times of greatest distress and hopelessness. They are certain that he is greater than any distress, even greater than death. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And right here was the original entrance to that Jesus would have entered into. And the tomb is right here. And there we are in front of it. So check out August Rosado, type it in on YouTube, type in August Rosado and Todd Baker, and you can see this teaching, or go to my Facebook page, it is on there. Did about a 20-minute teaching next to the tomb of Lazarus. We connected the resurrection of Jesus to that, and the rapture of the church, the first resurrection and the second resurrection, all in 20 minutes. This is the first church there. That's how it looks. Probably can't see that very well. And this is the fifth church near adjacent to the Tomb of Lazarus. It's a small Franciscan chapel. Latin here, Ego Sum Resurrectio et Vita. I am the resurrection and the life. And then this is another side mosaic on the side wall coming in. It's be on your right. Pater ut credant quia tu me missisti hic cum dexessit voce magna clamuit Lazare vini for us. And that is Jesus saying with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. It's in Latin text of John 11. And here in Latin, the Lord said to Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things. That's in Latin. This is the outside entrance. And so, after we finished that, we were able to witness to Michael, an Arab man who owns a souvenir shop across from the traditional site of Lazarus's tomb. He knew what occurred at the site from John chapter 11, but we gave him a complete Hebrew Bible with an Arabic gospel tract. Our message to him was that in the face of death, we can have resurrection life in Jesus Christ, the one who conquered death for us and has authority over it, with the power to make us spiritually alive now and will make us physically alive again when he returns to call his redeemed home at the rapture of the church. Behind him was a Muslim woman who worked there. We don't know if he was a Christian or not. I mean, they'll say, some of these people say anything to get your money. He could be Muslim, but he got the gospel, and we injected John 11 and the resurrection of Lazarus as well. Now, we noticed when we went into the church earlier, there was a group of young Palestinian hooligans that had gathered around our car, and they put this very tall coat, I don't know what it was, where you hang coats on, a coat rack. That's what it looked like. They put it directly behind our car. And the reason why they did that was they were going to try to extort money from us when we left. Well, that where we parked is free parking. There is no paid parking. So I warned August about it, gave him a heads up, and he and I resolutely said, we're not paying them anything. And we're not going to be intimidated by them either. If the Lord be for us, who can be against us? So we told Michael, we want you to come out there with us. And Kate, we don't want anything to happen. The guys, when we first saw them out there, they were near our car. They had put the coat rack up, and there was about six or seven, and then it grew to be about 15 of them. They were on mopeds, and they had these plastic machine guns. And one, the ringleader of the group had this satanic grimace on his face, and he was firing plastic bullets over our head, and I just waved to him, trying to defuse the situation as we made our way in the church. Well, when we came out, Michael went with us, and he kept saying, oh, there's good people around here. And we're like, no, there's none good. No, it's not one. We're all sinners needing a savior. But he was trying to say that, oh, they're not bad. And so August had the brilliant idea of hugging him and on both sides of his cheek to give the impression that he was a close friend of ours, and maybe that would diffuse the situation with the Palestinian hooligans. And I hugged him as well, and we had Michael remove the coat rack, the big black iron rot coat rag, and we backed out and left. And the second time we went out there, we didn't even make eye contact with him, but we didn't have any issue after that. I was told in the past not to go there because it's dangerous. Well, I'm not going to let fear or danger get in the way of doing what God has called us to do. We've been in the so-called West Bank before, and we'll be going back to other locations like Hebron, the Cave of Machpelah. We'll be going to Shechem. Bethel was in the so-called West Bank, as well as modern-day Bethany. But the good news is this man heard the gospel, and he received a Hebrew complete Bible with Arabic gospel tract. Pray for Micah. pray for his salvation. I mean, he has a shot not even 5 yards away from the entrance to the tomb of Lazarus. And yet Christian tourists do not go here. Again, fear has replaced their faith. They talk a good game, but their actions show that they're ruled by fear instead of faith. Sorry, but that's just the truth. Okay, our last day of gospel ministry, our last day of gospel ministry in Jerusalem was spiritually satisfying for August Rosano and myself. The day began on the busy modern day street of Ben Yehuda, where a variety of shops dot both sides of the street. August and I had the pleasure of talking with Noam, pictured here. He was jubilant to learn that both Holy Testaments of the Jewish Bible reveal God's promise to send Israel and the world a Savior from the Jewish people. Boldly, we declared that the unanimous testimony from Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets point to Yeshua of Nazareth being none other than the Messiah of Israel and the world, Luke 24:44. We showed some of these very messianic prophecies to Noam, and he received a Hebrew Bible with messianic study materials to further his newfound discovery of what we proclaim to him. As it is written, the entrance of thy word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple, Psalm 119:130. And there you see, I'm instructing him concerning Yeshua the Messiah, found in the very Bible the Jews read in the Tanakh, but the brief Chadashah added with it. Amen. Well, on a side street, we stepped into a cutlery shop where we met Rafi. He welcomed our stated reason for coming to Israel several times a year. And what is that? To bring back the complete word of God about Israel's Messiah to the Jewish people as revealed in both testaments of the Hebrew Bible that exclusively unveils Yeshua to be the true one and only Messiah. In that vein, Rafi joyfully accepted the scriptures from us. Praise the Lord. Here he is with us. In the late afternoon, August and I had lunch at the Tipsy Cafe. We had a delicious meal there. And with that, an effective time of gospel witness with the owner, Gedaliah, in the center there between August and I. He made Aliyah from New Jersey to Israel over a decade ago. His sister and her husband were there too. They all gladly heard us share the Jewish roots of the New Testament based in the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament. Together, we told them together, they are all united in their testimony that Yeshua is the Messiah come and soon to come to Israel to redeem the nation and establish his kingdom over all the earth. Zechariah 12, chapters 12 through 14, and Revelation 20, verses 2 through 7. Gedaliah took this all in with an open heart of a curious appreciation and was highly gratified and very happy to accept a gift of the Hebrew scripture from this ministry. And what a glorious end to our sharing Yeshua in Jerusalem, the city of the great King, Matthew 5:35. So the next day we made our way on the last phase of this 57th gospel outreach to Israel. We had not been to Haifa in it had been quite some time. We were supposed to go in our November 56th gospel outreach, but there was too much missile activity there, and we didn't go. We just ended up staying in Jerusalem. By the way, as It was in November, so it was this time. We did not hear one siren. We did not see one missile, nor did we experience any danger. Supernatural protection so that we could do the supernatural ministry of the gospel. August and I left Jerusalem today. It was April 3rd for Haifa. We drove directly to the Grand Canyon Mall. Historically there, this ministry has had good and effective witness for Yeshua the Messiah. This mall has become a good fishing location, spiritually speaking. This time, thank God, it was no different. August and I met Antinomus, an interesting name. Antinomus. We met her at a soap and skin body shop, skincare shop. We told her that we come from a far land to give her the good news of Jesus the Messiah. She was receptive to the message of salvation found only in Yeshua the Messiah that was clearly revealed in the Tanakh and the Berit Chadashah. This coming Passover, we told her, is a reminder how this Messiah is the fulfillment of the Passover, Exodus 12 with 1 Corinthians 5, 7. We told her that this Messiah is the final Passover lamb died for the penalty of our sin and rose from death that we might be declared in right standing with God. Antinomus looked over the Hebrew Bible we gave as a gift for approaching Passover and repeatedly thanked us for our giving the saving word to her. And then not several shops down, we met another young Israeli lady by the name of Marlena. August and I informed her that our spiritual indebtedness to the Jewish people for giving the world the Messiah, the scriptures, and our faith compels us to return these invaluable riches back to Am Segulah, Hebrew for chosen people. As we shared this with Marlena, she kept saying, "Amen, that is true." She was most agreeable to let us give her a copy of the complete Word of God in Hebrew to confirm and deepen her understanding of the Messianic truths. Amen. And we discussed with her also God's plan for Israel as it is inextricably bound up in Yeshua the Messiah from the scriptures. That plan, which centers around Yeshua, that encompasses Israel's past, present, and future. And so our second day of ministry in balmy Haifa then took us to the Azareli Mall. August and I met a very friendly Israeli man and father. We had the opportunity to share with him and his children. The man's name was Guy. He was happy to learn that we are ardent supporters of the Jewish people and their God-given right to live in the land Hashem gave to them for an everlasting possession according to the everlasting covenant, Genesis 17, 7 and 8. Guy was surprised to learn that God has brought back the people of Israel to the land to prepare them for the return of Yeshua the Messiah. From that truth, we briefly shared with Guy that Yeshua's fulfillment of Messianic prophecy proves beyond any doubt the Nazarene is the Messiah soon to return. Guy welcomed a complete a Jewish Bible from us with Messianic gospel reading materials he can read and share with his family. His two sons were there listening to us as well, two young children. I think they were 7 and 9. We asked them their ages, but what a wonderful ministry opportunity. This happened in the garage of the mall even before we went in. Praise God. So that was good. Well, then our last person that we witnessed to was, this was quite incredible. Her name is Danella. She makes jewelry at her studio about an hour and a half away from Haifa. And she sells them every Erev Shabbat at the mall. She was appreciative to hear us express our gratitude for Yeshua, the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah. She was appreciative to hear our gratitude for Yeshua, the Jewish Messiah, the Hebrew Bible, and the biblical faith as blessings God gave to save us through the Jewish people of Israel. Romans 3, 1 and 2, and Romans 9, 4 and 5. We were able to educate Danella how, in fact, the suffering Messiah made atonement to save sinners based on what is written in Yeshayahu 53, Isaiah 53, that he came to die and make atonement for sinners through his perfect sacrifice, Hebrews 10. And he did so while dying on the tree. She astonishingly replied back, quote, "We need to be saved." We, meaning the people of Israel. And we, of course, pointed to the scriptures that we gave to her and said, this is the way of salvation through Yeshua. Read the prophecies he came to fulfill as and bring salvation to the world. Believe in them and you shall be saved. Amen. And a little bit later, as we were leaving the mall, we walked on this side and she saw us and she took the Bible, held it up and pointed to it and placed it in her bag. So she was serious about learning and knowing how to be saved after acknowledging the need for Israel to be saved. Isn't that something? That was something she uttered by the Holy Spirit's conviction. I'm firmly convinced of that. So I would ask you that you would pray for all of these people that we witnessed to in Israel. We handed out 32 Bibles. We witnessed to more than 32 people. Only a few rejected our testimony. But we did challenge them to search the scriptures and see for themselves that the Messianic prophecies in their Bible, called the Tanakh, indeed points to none other than Yeshua of Nazareth. So leaving there, we had time and we went back to Mount Carmel. This is another teaching YouTube yanked down that we redid. We did a teaching there in 2016, and we recounted the confrontation that Hanavi Eliyahu, the prophet Elijah, had with Jezebel and her 450 false prophets of Baal. You know the story. And we asked and addressed and answered the question, are there Jezebels today? Yes, they are. There is a false teaching going on in the church now that there is no such thing as a Jezebel spirit. Now, yes, I agree. There's that moniker Jezebel spirit is not quoted in the scripture. However, there are people who have her characteristics that were even in the church. The church of Thyatira. Jesus rebuked them for permitting a woman there called Jezebel to compel the members there to worship idols and commit spiritual immorality. Now, the woman in Thyatira wasn't literally named Jezebel, but she was given that name in a metaphorical sense to denote that she had the same disposition and activities of the ancient queen of Israel, Jezebel, husband to the passive and accommodating Ahab. There is a problem with that Jezebel mentality in the church today. That's so obvious. And anybody who tells you that the Jezebel attitude and mentality does not exist in the church today is either accommodating Jezebel or is under the influence of Jezebel. But you know the story here. And you can see that teaching on my Facebook page, the video teaching August Rosado and I did here at Mount Carmel. You can see it on our Facebook page. This is a statue, of course, of Elijah the prophet with a knife in his hand and a prophet, one of the prophets of Baal, underneath his feet. He's got his foot on the nape of his neck. As you know, Elijah had the fall, all 450 false prophets of Baal taken down to the brook Kishon. We've done a teaching there before. We tried to do a teaching by the brook of Kishon this time. We couldn't find it. We had a hard time finding it, so we might do that the next time. Anyway, he took them down there and slit their throats. That the penalty for false prophets under the old covenant is death. That's not the same under the new covenant. In the new covenant, false prophets should be rebuked if they don't repent and refuse to be corrected after the second admonition. They are to be rejected and excommunicated from the church, not killed. So this whole idea of carrying out an inquisition is completely unbiblical and satanic when it comes to dealing with heretics and false teachers and false prophets. They are to be corrected by the word of God, and if they are not willing to be corrected by the word of God, they are to be shunned and, if possible, excommunicated from the church. This is a little chapel on Mount Carmel, and there's Elijah hiding in the cave. This is a Carmelite convent, not a convent, I forgot the name, but there are only two priests who live here now, the Carmelite order. And there's a flower base. And this is the site, the traditional site where the prophet Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal. They built an altar. The prophets of Baal pleaded, gnashed themselves and so forth, crying down for Baal to act. Elijah was being entertained by their myopic idolatry. And he said, well, why isn't he answering you? Is he on a journey? In the Hebrew, that word actually means, has he gone to the bathroom? For whatever reason, so Elijah basically said, well, I guess Baal's not answering you. He's gone to the bathroom. Unfortunately, the modern translations don't translate it that way because they thought it was too offensive for the modern reader. Translate it the way it reads in the Hebrew, please. So this is the actual site. And this is on top of the hill where we were staying. That's the beautiful Carmel Bay in Haifa. It's the turquoise color of the Mediterranean. And then as we were leaving the airport, this is something new they put up. This is an actual Herodian stone from the Temple Mount wall. Weighing 5 tons, originated from the Temple Mount wall, built in the days of King Herod the Great. And they range between 2 and dozens of tons and even more. And this was a particular feature of stones cut in the temple, supervised by Herod. They have this niche in each one of them, this relief, if you will, that stands out from the stone forming a square. And folks, that is it. That concludes our 57th Gospel Outreach to Israel. And may I thank you for your financial support and your prayers. And may I also once again humbly ask you to please support this ministry. If you haven't before, you can do that by clicking on the donate link that I provided there below the title of tonight's message. Those of you who do support us, continue supporting us so that we can continue these vital end-time gospel outreaches to Israel. What Jesus said about the fields being white unto harvest is true of modern-day Israel. Every time we go, I can give you the statistic of people who are open to hear a gospel witness among the Jewish people and receive a complete Hebrew Bible that has both Old Testament and New Testament in it. The percentage that receive us are anywhere from 97% to 98%, and yet no one is going to the Jewish people in Israel. I've been doing this for 24 years, and I have yet to see a ministry over there from the West or even within Israel. And there are some, but I've yet to see in all that time people doing what we're doing. Not because we're special or we're better than someone else. It's not because of that. It's because of the church's indifference and their disconnect with the Jewish people. And it not, should not be so, because the Bible that you hold in your hand, the Messiah that you believe, the God that you know, is all because of Israel's obedience to the call of God to give us his word, to give us his Messiah, and through that Messiah, salvation. Remember what Jesus told to a Gentile woman, a Samaritan. Salvation is of the Jews. So we are headed back, hopefully, God willing, in mid-September for what will be this ministry's 58th gospel outreach. So please consider supporting us. We do need your support, and thank you for your support. Any donation is welcomed. We do not shun the widow's mite, nor do we shun a generous donation as well. So thank you for supporting us. And next week, we'll be back in our series on the five biblical solas of the Reformation. And then the following week, we'll be back in the book of Jeremiah. But don't forget to pray for these precious Jewish souls that we share the gospel with and who receive the scriptures in their original language, the Hebrew language. And as we ponder today what is called Good Friday, the great and infinite sacrifice Messiah Jesus made for us, let us remember that he died to save both Jew and Gentile. God has no is no respecter of any person when it comes to saving souls. The thing that he respects most is saving faith, whether it comes from Jew or Gentile. I would challenge you to read Isaiah 53 and see how 800 years beforehand the foreshadowing of the cross was given there, and in Psalm 22. I'll say this, I've done this a couple times in Israel. I've had several Israelis read in Hebrew the text of Isaiah 53, Yeshayahu in Hebrew, Hanavi Yeshayahu, the prophet Isaiah. And every time they've read that chapter without any leading of the witness from me, I ask them, who is that talking about? And invariably they will look at me and say, he's talking about Yeshua. And then we say to them, yes, and what he did for you and I as the atonement for our sins, that he might reconcile us to Hashem, bringing forgiveness, new life, salvation, and a home in heaven. And to this day, folks, in the synagogue, when they read the Haftorah readings from the prophet every week in their annual readings, when they come to Isaiah 52:12 through Isaiah, let me make sure I get this right, Isaiah 53:13, they skip over that reading in the Haftorah reading, because actually it's Isaiah 52:13 through Isaiah chapter 53. They put a blank sheet over that chapter. And when they come to that reading in their weekly Haftorah readings in the synagogues, they skip over. Why do you suppose they do that? It's because they instinctively know who it's pointing to, and they don't want to acknowledge that it is pointing to and was fulfilled in the Messiah. And they unwittingly fulfill what Isaiah 53 says about them. It says that, let me find it here. Isaiah 50, it's hard to read in the dark here. Isaiah 53, 3:3. He is despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Well, they do that every year in the synagogue when they turn away from reading Isaiah 53. That's a tragedy. But the good news is they're not turning their heads and eyes away when we come to them and bring them the scriptures and tell them about who fulfilled Isaiah 53 for the salvation of both Jew and Gentile. Well, until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach, Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.